Met a fellow the other day. He had scratches on his face. He was limping around. And I said, what in the world happened to you? He said, I took up horseback riding. I said, what? He said, yeah, I took up horseback riding. And he said, I got a horse the other day and I was riding that thing and it was walking, you know, doing real well. And then it started galloping and then that thing broke out into a run. And he said, I was holding on for dear life. He said, I fell off. Got my foot hung in the stirrup. That thing was bouncing and dragging me. I said, you could have got killed. He said, yeah, if that Walmart manager hadn't come over and unplugged that thing, I think it would have beat me to death. So you got to watch what you do. Watch these new things that you take up because they can't get a hold of you. We're going to talk about remembering today just a little bit. How good is your memory? Is it real good? Anybody in here got a real good memory? You can't remember, can you? Well, I don't know about you, but mine is going down. I spoke at Heritage a few weeks ago when I was telling those students there, and some of them are 18 or 19 years old. I said, if you walked into a room, and then when you got in there, you thought, what did I come for? And they looked at me like, oh, come on. I said, don't talk so much. It'll happen to you, won't it? Have you done that? Do you know what room you're in now? I hope you remember what you're here for today. Your memory, it just, I've told people I've got to have, if I got one thing on the ground, I throw two other things down because I can remember one of them, hopefully, when I bend over. I may have told you that before. When you get older, not only you can't remember, but you repeat yourself too, don't you? What was I just saying? That's just a part of it. That's just a part of this memory thing. It kind of comes and goes, and we get kind of scared and all. I honestly think it's an overload. Now, these computers, I mean, they're putting out so much stuff, and you're trying to remember all this stuff, plus all these other things, and mine's overloaded, I think. I'm trying to put stuff in there. It wasn't a big space in the beginning. And I just can't keep it all in there. I heard a preacher the other day. He was talking. He said, oh, and well-known brother in our brotherhood works for Christian schools. And he said, boy, used to, I could memorize this and memorize that. And he said, I'm slipping on that. And he said, this other stuff that I'm studying, I get about maybe a third of that stays with me. And he said, it's just, that's the way it is. But that's the way it is in getting a little older, isn't it? That's just a part of it. And you might as well enjoy it. So you got to be careful. Now, don't get like the two little ladies that used to go to Florida together. They'd meet down in Florida, and they'd been doing it for 12 years. And they were out there one day, and they loved to sit. They'd sit down, and they'd watch the sunset in Florida. And they'd look at that sunset, and boy, it was so pretty. One of them was sitting there one night, and she looked over to the other and said, I hate to ask you this, but said, can you tell me what your name is? And the other little lady looked at her, and you saw these big old tears coming up in her eyes. And she was just about ready to bawl. And she waited about a minute. She answered, and she said, could I get back with you on that? Now, I don't know about you. That may be the way I am. But that's just the way it goes. And then we joke about memory. We joke about not being able to remember. But then also, we have to understand it is sometimes memory, and it's not a funny thing. Some of you have faced the time where you've gone in to see your mother, your father, and they didn't know who you were. That's not fun. That's not funny at all. And that can happen to any one of us. And we regret that. If you're in that, listen, we're going to be praying for you because it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. To know your parents and what they've done for you, and now they can't, they might not even know who you are. That's hard. And it may be like some I heard of a mother in Florida, and you've heard this before in other places, where this lady went in to a grocery store, and I think one of them went into work one day, left her baby in the car, and it was well over 100 degrees outside. And the baby died because of it. And she said, I just didn't remember I had the baby in the car. And some of us are saying, how in the world could she have forgotten that? Maybe easier than we think. So let's be careful about judging people and things like that. So losing your memory or memory going is not always a funny thing. It's not always something we can laugh about. Sometimes we can, and sometimes that's what we need to do about it. I guess so that we can deal with it, so that we can understand it and go on and not just get scared and not know what we're doing. So what we're going to do is study about this. We got to remember to add to our faith. Our faith is important, and we need to be willing to do that. Now, look at this. I want you to remember those who've gone on before. I wish, and I started to do this, Betty Robinson Patterson did a church history a few years ago, and then Harold, I think, revised that, brought it a little more up to date, added some more things to it in 98, something like that, sometimes along in there. And we have some copies. If you'd like a copy, write it down and give it to me, and I'll get you one. Don't just tell me. It won't work. But write it down. We'll be glad to get you one. This congregation started in 1815, I think, wasn't it? No, 1915. Rosie Carter had 12 people to come to her house. And there, and we could, you know, I thought about going through and trying to mention elders and deacons. And I think the first preacher, as far as I can know, was H.L. Kirby. Now, that's what I was read in the history there. And there may be others, you may know something different, but that's what I read. I thought about mentioning elders and some of them of the past and some of the families that helped to establish this congregation, help this congregation to be able to be where it's at today. And we need to be thankful for what they did. You need to remember your history. You need to remember what's happened in the past. Because if we don't remember what's happened in the past, we're certainly not going to appreciate what we have today. And we need to appreciate what we have. You just think about, I mean, we got a beautiful building here. The Lord's blessed us. We've got parking. We've got all these things, heat and air conditioning and everything else. We've got all that. And we need to be thankful for that. It's here because of what some of those people did years ago. It's because of their sacrifice. It's because of their study of the Word of God that many of us are Christians today. And we need to be thankful for that. And I want to encourage you to go back and look at that church history of this congregation and what people did in the past. And this church history is so good. I think, if I remember, they played... Maybe I shouldn't tell that. I've told that before. They paid some of the preachers $4 for a week's meeting. Now, don't anybody get any ideas, okay? I just want to get that straightened out right now. that's history. That's in the past, and you see that, and you think about those things, and certainly those things are wonderful. How hard they had to work, what they had to do, not only just those people in 1915, but what some of your parents had to do for this congregation and the sacrifices that they have made for this congregation. We need to realize how important it is, our past history, and we need to remember that. We need to know what history is all about, and we need to help other people to understand that. Now, something I want you to remember. Don't forget. Do not ever forget on whose shoulders you stand. And we need to remember that. That's a part of remembering those people of the past. But it's also a part of remembering our parents, our grandparents, and what they did, what they were willing to sacrifice, how far they had to go to get what they had. And now I hope you enjoy it. I hope you don't take it for granted. But what those of the past have done for us, and we need to be thankful for that. We need to remember that. We stand on the shoulders of a lot of people that have accomplished a lot of great things. And we need to be really, really thankful for every bit of that and remember it. All right, now, look at this. We need to remember, and God wants us to remember, these important things here. The Bible is a book of remembrance. I looked up, it was 164 times in the New King James translation that it had the word remember. Now, there's a lot of derivatives of that, other words that you can look at, but I thought 164 times is pretty important. Listen to some of these passages here. Genesis 9 and verse 15. I will remember my covenant which I, which is between me and you. Now this is God. God said, I'll remember my covenant. I'm going to remember the covenant that I've made with you. God is one that remembers. Please understand that. Sometimes we think God just forgets. And you know, we may be like Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. We may think that God's memory is not as well as it needs to be. Let me tell you something. God remembers everything. God knows everything. The good and the bad, He knows all of that. He knows it. Now, He will forgive and wipe away our sins. He'll do that for us. But let me tell you something. God remembers His covenant that He has made with us. He remembers how important it is. Then Numbers 15 and verse 9. Remember all of the commandments. All of them. Remember every one of those commandments. God says that I have given you. I want you to keep all those in your mind and in your heart. Remember every one of them. Don't forget them. Now, passage that we read this morning. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Where the wise man Solomon said, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Remember God while you're young. Now, the rest of that passage is wonderful. It goes on with a very simple thing here. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come and the years draw near, where when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You know what that passage, I'll give you the Thompson translation. Remember the Creator while you're young. Before your mind gets so filled up with the world, you can't put God in it anymore. We need to put God in our mind and in our heart. We need to remember that. We need to remember that we've got to keep Him there. And I'm telling you, the devil comes in, just like in the soils, to take away the Word of God. He comes in your heart and my heart, our lives, to take that away. And if we allow Him to do that, and we forget about that, then we're going to be less people because of it. We're going to be those who are going to suffer a great deal. And another passage, John 15 and verse 20, remember the words that I have spoken to you. Remember what I've said to you, Jesus said. And then He goes on to talk about being a servant. You need to learn to be a servant. He said, remember that. Boy, you know, sometimes we can get real cocky about what God has given us, and we think it's because of who we are. It's really because of who God is. You see, God blesses His people because of who He is, not who they are. If God blessed His people because of all that they've done for Him, let me tell you something, none of us would probably have any blessings from God because we don't deserve them. Remember what God's done for you. You haven't pulled yourselves up by your own bootstraps. You haven't decided, boy, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do God's will. God gave you a path to be able to come to Him. God told you how He wanted you to come to Him. He wants you to understand how that is. Then Romans 3 and verse 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. And He said, repent. Remember what God's done for you. Keep that before your face. Because sometimes, if we're not careful, Mark was talking about it in the class this morning, about this thing of growing and growing in God. If you didn't get to come to Bible class, you need to come. Great class. We need to remember that. We need to remember what God has done for us, how God has blessed us. I mean, He's given us a book to go by, and He wants us to follow that. He's given us a book that we can follow. And I'm going to tell you, it's not that hard when you give up your will for the will of God. It's not that hard. Now, what I want us to do now is to look at some passages. Look at these. You want to write these down, that's fine. If you don't, holler, I'll give them to you later. But I just turn to that first passage, if you would. Turn to Matthew 5, verse 23. And what we want to do is just read these passages, make a few comments, and then I'm going to get you out. Somebody told me there's a clock over there. Did y'all know there was a clock over there? I didn't know it. They took the one down in the back. I can't see that far, so they figured they might as well save it. But you'll get out on time, hopefully. Now, look at this. Matthew 5, verse 23. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you. Okay, remember this. You're going to go to worship and you realize that you've got a problem with somebody. You've got a difficulty with somebody. Now, how is it going to affect your worship? How is it going to affect when you sing these songs and when you pray and when you hear the lesson? Sometimes I've had people say, I didn't hear a thing you had to say today. I said, why? Well, I had this thing on my mind. A problem at home. A problem with a friend. A problem at work. What we've got to do is we've got to remember to get these things out of the way. Get all the sin, all the problems, all the difficulties out of the way. Because if we don't, it's going to hinder us in our worship to God. It's going to hinder us in drawing closer to God. And let me tell you something. You don't need any more hindrances to draw you away from God. You need to come closer and closer to God. You got to do that. Luke 11 and verse 3. Listen to what he says here. Give us day by day our what? Daily bread. He's saying, okay, you need to remember to depend on God. You need to remember to trust in God. You need to remember that God provides for you. You say, wait a minute, I got up and I went to work last week. I worked hard all week long and I got a check. It's my check. Let me tell you something. If God hadn't given you the health to do it, you'd be sitting at home or you'd be in the hospital somewhere. He's blessed you, and you need to think about that. He's blessed some of us with older age. He's blessed some of us by being able to overcome some of the silly things that we did that could put our life into question, that could put our health into question. He's helped us in many ways. When you look at that paycheck, don't say, I did it. No, God gave it to you. God blessed you with a job. God blessed you with everything you have. God blesses you with your children. God blesses you with all that you have. And we need to be thankful to Him for what He has done for us. If you can't see any blessings that God has done for you last week, then you need to stay after church. And I'll get some of these little ladies to talk to you. Don't need preachers. I'll get some of the little ladies to tell you what you need to be thankful for and how you need to be blessed. Matthew 26 and verse 75, Peter remembered what the Lord had said to him. And this is what, listen to this. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. He said, now Peter's the one that spoke up and said, Lord, if they're going to get you, they got to go through me. I'll die first. He said, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. Well, we got a resolve, hadn't he? I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be at every service. We've got a resolve there. We're going to do that. The problem is that sometimes, even though we've resolved, we become weak. And we sin. We do things that are wrong. Romans 3, Romans 6, where we all sin. We all do that. But you know the hardest person in the world to forgive is who? Yourself. For what you've done that's wrong. Let me tell you something. God will forgive. He'll forgive you of your sins. Learn to forgive yourself. Learn to depend upon the Lord. And we've got to learn that lesson. We've got to learn to trust in Him. Paul had to do that with all the things he did in his life, all the people that he hurt in his life. How could he, after hurting and punishing families, little children, wives, husbands, and then he becomes a part of the church, and he may meet some of those people that he's punished and he's hurt. What can you say to them? How could you justify that? How could you say, I did that because of... No, it was wrong. It was wrong. And I shouldn't have done it. And I've asked God to forgive me. And if I'd have known where you were, I'd have asked you to forgive me too. Learn to forgive yourself. God does. He forgives you, and He wants you to go on in your life. Luke 16 and verse 25. But Abraham said, now this is the story in the New Testament of Lazarus and the rich man. Listen as we go on. Son, and here's Abraham talking to the rich man. Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. We need to realize it doesn't make any difference how much you have in this world. It doesn't make any difference how much you don't have in this world. That the most important thing of all is to serve God and to do His will. Here's a beggar. Here's a man that the dogs came and licked his sores. I mean, we're talking poor. He couldn't throw a big thing in the collection plate. He didn't put a big check in there, a big bill, or a big coin in the collection plate. When he walked by the pot, if they even let him in the services, you didn't hear it clank when he dropped something in because he may not have had anything. But look at this. Don't judge what you have now by what you're going to get in life, in the life to come. You may have pain and heartache here, but you remember. Now, listen to what he said. Now he is comforted and you're tormented. Now please don't get the idea that I'm saying if you're rich, then there's a problem with that. I'm glad people are rich. I am thrilled they're rich. I've seen some rich people give to schools and write big checks, you know, so that colleges could go to train and teach young people. I've seen people in the church write big checks to, you know, for the church building. Nothing wrong with being rich. Nothing at all. In fact, if you can be rich, be rich. But you be a Christian rich person. And give. Help the poor. Help the needy. Give to the church. Do those things. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what he's trying to say here. We need to remember that God doesn't always pay now. Sometimes God pays in the future. Sometimes he blesses in the future. He blesses now, but sometimes we can't see the blessings. And he's got a lot there for us. Heard a fellow the other day was talking about that. He said a fellow died and went to heaven, one of these stories about heaven, and they were walking down this hall. And he had doors on either side of the hall. He said, what's in those doors? He said, I don't want to talk about it. And he said, okay. So he got to walk. And he stepped, and there was a door that had his name on it. His name was on that door. Well, he didn't ask. He just opened that door up and looked in there. It was a humongous warehouse. They were packages all over the shelves in there, wrapped up with his name on them. Had his name on them. He said, Peter, what is this? He said, well, come on, let's go. We don't want to talk about that. He said, no, I want to know, what is this? He said, well, you see, God has stored up blessings to give to people. And sometimes people don't ask for them. And these are blessings that God could have given you, but you didn't ask for it. You didn't live in such a way to where you could see some of the blessings that He wanted to give you. I hope you're not like that. I hope you see the blessings that God's given you. I hope you're thankful for every one of those things. Luke 23 and verse 42, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Here's a thief on the cross. Possibly what people say is he was one that also chided Jesus. Well, if you're really the Messiah, why don't you get us down from here? And then the scripture seemed to say that he kind of changed his mind and he asked Jesus for help. In time of heartache, in time of death, in time of pain, he asked for help. Listen to what Jesus said to him. I want to read this to you. Jesus said to him, assuredly. Now, what does assuredly mean? There is no way out of it. It's for sure. It's from God. It's from the throne of God. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, Jesus made a promise. You believe He keeps His word? Huh? I think so. I think He keeps His word. He's promised to save us. And it's not based on all that we do. It's not based on all that we're able to accomplish. It's based on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and us saying, listen, we'll submit to His will. We'll do what He wants us to. We'll live as He wants us to live. We'll be willing to do that. And there is the hope that we have. There is always hope, even when you're hanging on a cross. Even when you're in the midst of pain, there is always hope from God. And I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what you're facing right now. I don't know the heartaches that you're facing. You may be here today and say, you know, I hadn't heard anything He said until this point. That's okay. Understand this. There is hope for everybody. It is in this life, and God will give you the blessings that you just can't even conceive of. He's got more blessings for you than you even know about. He's already given us many that we can't even see right now. And He wants to give us more, and He wants to give us more. Even in the midst of suffering, we can see the blessings that He gives to us, and we need to have those. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, and made us alive together with Christ. When we were people that were going against God, He made us alive in Christ. By grace you've been saved, not because of all you've done, not just because you've been baptized. I've heard you can baptize a cat. I don't want to try to do that. But you know, if that's as far as you go, that's not far enough. That's the birth, but you've got to go on and grow. Mark's talking about this on Sunday morning. We've got to go on and grow. We've got to be willing to add to our life. We need to remember that God is one that has blessed everybody with salvation. Now, there's a lot of people that they won't accept that salvation. They won't accept the forgiveness of their sins. They won't accept following His will. They won't accept doing His way. And if we turn down salvation now, we turn it down. And it's not there. We need to be willing to have that. All right. Hebrews 13 and verse 3. I want you to think about this one as we think about all the people over in Japan right now. I don't know about you. I've seen it on the internet, seen it on the news, where these beautiful fields are just covered by debris. And if you watch the right program, you can see it as it does it. And how many people, and they're talking about thousands of people now that have lost their lives. 20-foot wall of water comes in, tears everything up, and then pulls it all back out. And a lot of people lost their life in that. Listen to Hebrews 13, verse 3. Remember the prisoner. Now, how am I supposed to remember those people that are suffering for the cause of Christ? How am I supposed to remember those people that are in pain? Remember the prisoner as if you were chained with him. Some of you have known what it is to go back and see your house gone. It's not there where it was. You've known what it is to lose things. But he said, you remember these people that are suffering, these people that are in pain, these people that are lost. You remember them just like you were a prisoner and you were chained with them. For us in the South, you were chained on the same chain gang with them. Remember them that way. Not just, well, that's a bad thing. It's more than that. What if everything you had was taken away? What if everything you had was gone? Well, I tell you what, we need to be praying for those people over there. And it'll come out in the near future where several Christians died in that. But honestly, I don't care if they weren't members of the church. It's still a bad thing for families to lose their whole family and maybe whole families to be wiped out. He said, you think about those prisoners as though you were chained with them. Not just think about, oh, that's hard, that's rough. But you think about what they're going through as though you're there and what they're having to endure. Those who are mistreated, you think about them. Since you yourselves are in the body also. Think about those that are Christians and what they're going to have to suffer. What they're going to have to go through. How hard it is going to be on them. Okay. Young couple was going to church. Hadn't just moved into town. And as they had moved into the town, they didn't know where the church building was. And so they got on the internet, found out where it was. And maybe they had GPS, which GPS and me sometimes, I don't know where that lady is sending me. I think she's mad at me and she wants me to go to California to come back. But they were trying to do that. And you know when you get your mind on trying to find that? If you've been in the car, well, if you've been in our car sometime when Lynn and I was trying to do it, she says, turn there, you know. And I'm going, okay. And then I'm turning over here when I'm supposed to. She said, I said to the right. I said, but I was going to this right. And so they were trying to find the church building. And you know how you'll do on a four-lane? Sometimes you'll cut somebody off. Now, when I cut somebody off, it's totally a mistake. But if you cut me off, you are the worst rat in the world and you intended to do it. Isn't that right? Okay, that's right. Well, they cut this guy off. Well, boy, I hate to do that. Trying to find the church. So this guy pulled up suddenly, just took his fist and shook it at him, you know, and sped away. Well, they went to church, went to Bible class, went into the auditorium. The auditorium was full. So they had to bring them down to the third row on the front and sit them down. They brought them down the third row, had them sitting there, you know. And the preacher got up. He saw them first. See, he was the guy with the fist. And he was, boy, and he thought, this pulpit is not big enough to hide behind. I need a big one. And about then they saw him. Whoa. Let me tell you something. We need to act like Christians because we don't know who we're going to meet. We don't know where we're going to be. We don't know who we're going to be with. We need to be with them. We need to act right. Walk and talk like a Christian because I'm going to tell you something. You'll run up on somebody sometime and they'll say, oh, are you a member of the church? I am too. And you think, boy, am I glad I didn't say what I thought I was going to say. Woo. Let's act like Christians. Let's live like Christians. Let's be people who recognize the blessings that God has given us. Let's remember all the things that He's blessed us with. And let's rejoice in those things because He has blessed every one of us. I don't care what's going on in your mind. He's blessed you. And He wants to forgive you. And He will blot out not all your problems. He doesn't do that. But He'll blot out all of the iniquity that He would hold against you when you stand before Him. And you'll be clean and pure. Maybe you need to be immersed in water to have your sins washed away, to be added to the body of Christ. Hey, we'll help you do that. But let's just think about our soul for a minute. Let's think about ourselves. God is willing to bless us with forgiveness. Let's use it. Let's use it. And not abuse it. This song that we sing is to encourage all of us to think about our souls.